From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
We are back with Dale Carter's America. This may well be, Kurt, the most important episode we have done to date.
Wow.
No hyperbole here. As the president would say, not a joke.
Not a joke?
Not a joke. And it relates to the t-shirt that I am wearing today. It says the word freedom on it, for those of you just listening to the audio. Of course, we'd love to have you on the video as well. There are so many different ways that you can get our podcast. Kurt, do the rundown for me.
Sure. So we're on anywhere you get podcasts, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of those. But then if you're watching this on video, which you should be, we're on YouTube, we're on Rumble. Those are the two main places you can find the video. We play a lot of clips. We have interviews that, you know, having video helps. You can see people's social cues and facial reactions and things like that. But the clips would be the main thing. Plus, you get to see our beautiful faces and this beautiful podcast studio
t-shirt
that we have randomly thrown together. And the t-shirt, yes, and the t-shirt, of course.
What's it say? Can you read that?
Freedom!
Freedom!
So yeah, follow us in all those places. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. We have great conversations there. Lots of comments, and, you know, we have a good time. And send us email, too, if you have any suggestions for topics of the show, things you want us to talk about, feedback, or questions, comments about the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and we read all of the emails and all the comments. So DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com is the email. And yeah, tell your friends and spread the word. We appreciate it.
A lot of stuff to get to today. Our podcast is brought to you in part by Bob Watson, State Farm insurance agent in Blue Springs. State Farm, of course, it's the name you know for insurance. They've been around forever. They have surprisingly great rates. They have Patrick Mahomes as their spokesperson. And if you've not seen Quarterback on Netflix yet, watch that. I'm about halfway through it. And I didn't think I could love Patrick Mahomes more. And I found a way to love him even more, just based on the Raiders game last year. I don't want to give too much of it away, but go watch Quarterback with the spokesmodel for State Farm. Our spokesmodel here for State Farm is Bob Watson, 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance, licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. A great staff there in Blue Springs that serves both Missouri and Kansas. A lot of folks on board with Bob Watson, State Farm agent. So let him insure you. He does insure us at Casa Del Carter, and we might have to take out some sort of a policy on my wife because her blood pressure, Kurt, was pinging off the walls. Just a brief little story here because, you know, I was on vacation, East Coast, right? Yep. We went up to Maine, and I did a week of it. Jennifer and her son Jackson stayed for another week. I can't be gone for 2 weeks. They went to Acadia National Park. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, in Maine. Yeah, I've heard it's very nice.
And they stayed in Bar Harbor. They had a wonderful time. Her flight back, like mine, was from Bangor to, I think they were going to D.C. and then D.C. to Kansas City. So she gets up in the middle of the night because it's an hour and a half drive over to Bangor. And she gets a text from American that her flight's been canceled.
Mm.
Canceled.
Wow.
And she's stuck in Maine. Right? What the hell are you going to do, right? And so she calls me in the middle of the night. She's crying. She's upset. And I said, well, let's tackle these things one at a time. You've got the rental car. Drive it to Bangor. See if they can extend that rental car and then get to a bigger airport. Boston was closest. So she gets to Bangor. They won't let her keep the rental car. There's one car left.
Mm.
She said it smelled like Cheech and Chong had been driving it.
Mm.
She drives that to Boston. Another extra night staying in a hotel near Logan Airport, has a 9 o'clock flight to Kansas City that's direct. It's like, okay, well, that's the best we can hope for here. Well, terrible storms in Boston yesterday, right? They are delayed taking off. They finally take off into this storm, which is just terrible. She said it was a bumpy ride. I would have hated it. She said up and down, hitting pockets, all this stuff. And then the pilot comes on and he says, well, we're going to have to make an emergency landing in Detroit.
Wow. So what happened? Was it something with the plane?
It was. So they had two things they had to fix on the plane, and it was a delay, delay, delay. And finally, the pilot said, hey, we're going to let everybody get off, stretch their legs, go find some food. She said about 90% of the people got off the plane, and literally like 20 minutes later, he comes on and he goes, we're ready to go. We got to get all these people back on. And four people did not come back on the plane.
Mm.
So they waited and waited and waited. Finally, only one person unaccounted for. They said, we got to go anyway. Finally, they take off. They get to Kansas City. I picked her up about 6 o'clock last night, and she was loaded for bear. I doubt she's going to be flying anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I mean, I have no evidence to support this, but it seems like those kind of stories are happening more and more often, you know, with people's flights getting canceled or delayed or having to drive or take the train and, you know, find other means of transportation. It's just a nightmare, man.
Well, I felt bad, you know, because Bangor Airport in Maine was closed the day before I left to come home. Did I tell you that?
No.
The runway had to be repaired.
Oh,
they only
really?
Have one runway. They closed the airport all day to repair it. So I get out of there the next day. I get home through New York flawlessly. I actually got home 15 minutes early. So I kind of feel guilty that I had a great time getting back, and she had such a terrible time. But it's a rough time to fly these days. I'm sure it's all due to global warming, and as soon as we're all driving electric cars, it's all going to be fine. Hey, remember that dirtbag who killed Officer Vasquez in North Kansas City?
I do.
Yeah. Allegedly. We have to say allegedly, even though he did it. Mm-hmm. We know he did it. He's not going to go on trial until September of 2025.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
What is the point? Right? We know he did it.
Yeah.
What's the delay?
Yeah, I have some people I'll have to ask about that.
Please, report back.
Okay,
at the top here, we've got Ukraine and NATO. Obviously, the big NATO meeting was overseas. Our wonderful president was over there fumbling the ball left and right, missing dinners. I mean, he didn't go to the dinners with the world leaders. I'm not sure what that's all about. You got a video summary you want to play of this?
Yeah, there's just a little video that kind of encapsulates all that.
Ukrainian
happened.
Forces released more footage Thursday of efforts to defend their territory from Russia's attacks. The question of whether the war has reached a stalemate was raised to White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan during his appearance on the ABC News Network.
You're seeing Ukrainian forces, in fact.
Ahead to the NATO part.
One of our core goals this year is to combat Russia's efforts to evade our sanctions.
During the recent summit in Vilnius, NATO members stood by Kyiv despite not offering it.
I just got to pause on that. I mean, this guy is such a LARPer. Just like look at him. He's like, oh yeah, I'm in all green. I'm a military man.
Talking about Zelensky.
Yeah, everyone else is in suits. And you just like, come
on. You know, he'd look good next to Fetterman, right? It'd be the small guy and the big guy.
Yeah, right.
Despite not offering it a clear roadmap to join the alliance.
But let's not underestimate what the Ukrainians did get out of this. First, they got the continued endorsement of support through commitment to long-term security assistance, the provision of military equipment and ammunition.
But for that support to remain strong, NATO members must step up their financial contributions, said Republican Senator Dan Sullivan on NBC.
It's undermined the sustainability of NATO when only 7 of 31 members of NATO currently meet their 2% of GDP obligation for defense spending. And look, that, in my view, has the potential to undermine even support for Ukraine in the near term and longer term the support for NATO.
U.S. President Joe Biden, however, made it clear last week that Ukraine won't need to wait for NATO membership to receive long-term security assurances. He was referring to a new framework unveiled by the group of 7 of the world's most advanced economies that paves the way to address Kyiv's current and post-war needs. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
Okay, so here's my point on this. Ukraine wants to be in NATO.
Yep.
Russia doesn't want them in NATO. That's why they launched this silly war to begin with, right?
Yep.
And Ukraine can't get in. One of the articles of NATO is you can't get into NATO if you're currently in a war.
Mm.
So Russia has every incentive to keep this going and keep plowing through and keep putting men into this machine, if you will, because they're keeping Ukraine out of NATO.
Yeah.
And NATO has Article 5, which says an attack on one's an attack on all. That's definitely going to keep them out of NATO because we'd be at World War III right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the only thing that's, I mean, Biden would be putting him in if he could, and that NATO would be putting them in if he could.
And we'd be at war with Russia.
Yeah. But
and probably
I don't
China.
Think even they are stupid enough to take that risk.
I wonder. I truly do. But I don't hear anybody talking about that. The fact that Article 5 is there, attack on one's an attack on all.
But it's still, I mean, that is it's such a drastic change from the previous policy. I mean, maybe that's the point of this whole thing for Zelensky. You know, it's like he knows that he's not going to get in NATO while there's a war going on, but he's negotiating his position because it's like at this point, it seems like as soon as the war is over, as soon as some sort of agreement is reached, boom, they're in. I mean, that's what it seems like.
It's not
like
that
to
fast.
Me.
There are things they have to go through, steps they'll have to take. It will probably be 2 years at the earliest before they can
but
get
in. But I mean, relatively speaking, that's pretty fast, you know. And the whole policy for the last 40 plus years, basically since the Cold War, has been an agreement that NATO is not going to encroach on Russia and Russia is not going to encroach on NATO. That's right. Why you have these, you know, buffer states, which Ukraine is one. And that's an act of aggression, in my opinion, you know, to steel man the Russian position. It's an act of aggression to encroach closer to their borders with adding all of these NATO member states that has been happening over the past few decades. And, you know, 5 years ago, it wouldn't have even been in the conversation to add Ukraine to NATO, and now it is in the conversation. So that's a big change.
Well, maybe they got something for all those millions of dollars they gave to Joey and Hunter and the Biden knows? Grandchildren and all that. That goes on and on.
Yeah, who knows? We'll
probably get into that a little bit later as well. Shifting gears here, Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, he's holding up the Defense Appropriations Act over social engineering by the military is basically what he's saying at taxpayer expense. Think about this. So the military, whose prime job, as we've talked about on the podcast, is to kill people and break things when we need them to, right? Now they're getting into paying for abortions for service members who need them, right?
Yep.
And gender-affirming care. So if you want your wiener cut off and you want the taxpayers to pay for it, join the Navy, right?
Yeah.
And the Biden administration, they just look at this like, I can't believe they're doing this. This is hurting our military readiness. And all he's – Tuberville, I think, is on point here. It's like we don't need social engineering done through the United States military.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how ready is the military if this is what they're focusing on? You know, the priorities are everything, and priorities should be killing people and breaking things. That's what the military's for. And so how ready are we? If we're spending all this money, all this attention on gender-affirming care in the military, on pushing social policy in the military, I mean, you can see the commercials that they're coming out with. There was that one cartoon for the Army that went viral a few months ago. So how ready can we really be? I mean,
well, and then Joey goes over there and tells him that the reason we're giving cluster munitions to Ukraine is because we don't have enough regular artillery shells. So we're low on artillery shells. You know, China's out there. Thanks, Joe. We didn't know that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
They're taking notes, and they're not pushing this stuff. Russia's not pushing this stuff, so.
Yeah. Okay, then there's this, and I swear to you, this is going to be the most important podcast we have done. From my perspective, but we still have a couple of things to get through here. And the next thing is this. A new study out seems to confirm a link between racism and childhood obesity. Here we go. It's play number one. The study published Tuesday in JAMA Network Open found that children of color who had experienced unfair treatment based on skin color were more likely to be obese. Researchers note that the stress of being discriminated against is one factor that leads to declines in mental and physical health. Income also plays a role, with kids in the lowest income category several times more likely to be obese than those in the highest bracket. So there you go. Fat kids, it's racist.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means. We got to play. We haven't played this bumper in a while, so.
This just in. White people must be stopped.
Exactly what white people are superior at.
They're real good at violence.
Violence. Genocide.
When someone's accused of being racist, they're always like, I have tons of black friends.
As a white person, I am super racist.
It is okay to be white.
No, that's not okay. It's
white people.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay. Right. But anyway, so I wanted to take this in a certain direction here, because when you put that in the notes, I was like, okay, which study? Yeah. Because I looked up racism, obesity, and then racism, childhood obesity.
And you couldn't find it?
No. There's many studies that are looking into racism and obesity. I mean, they're endless. You go to Google and you just search racism, childhood obesity. And I mean, a lot of them are linking to this study, but there's ones that are older too. You know, March 9th, 2021, are higher obesity rates in minority groups a product of blah, blah, blah. So it brings me to a little game that I like to play sometimes, which is it racist? Because it seems like everything is, you know, called racist.
Of course it is.
So all you have to do is go to Google and type any word and then racist. So tell me the first word that comes to mind.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got one for you because I just posted it on our Facebook page.
No, but not one that you already know about.
Oh, not one.
Just
that
like
I
think
know
of
a,
the most random thing you can possibly
the
think of.
The most random thing that I could think about. Freedom.
Oh, well, that's an easy one. That's an easy one.
Well, no, that's my t-shirt, and I'm getting there.
You got it. Here, let me go first. How about like soup?
Soup and soup. Racist.
Yeah. Racist donuts and culturally appropriated soup. First link. I mean, let's go.
Gosh, now you're really car.
Car. How cars fuel racial inequality from Vox in 2023. That was a month ago.
Weather.
All right. Why climate change is inherently racist. BBC, January 27, 2022.
Everything is racist. It's play number one.
Do one more.
Oh, gosh. One more.
So the most innocent thing you can possibly think of.
Puppies.
Okay. Can dogs be racist? The colonial legacies of racialized. Can dogs be racist? What to do if your dog seems racist? Even dogs are racist. Dogs and racism in America. I mean,
well, okay, easy. Okay, a couple of things on this. I did put up a story from the Washington Post this morning before I came in here to do the podcast. Luke Combs covered Fast Car, which was written and recorded by Tracy Chapman. I didn't know anything about that because I'm a country guy, right? So rather than celebrating the fact that it was the fastest moving single in the history of country music, because Luke Combs is on fire right now, the Washington Post focused on the fact that it was originally done by a queer black woman, okay? I didn't know Tracy Chapman was a woman, for one thing. Tracy can go either way. We got Tracy Byrd, Tracy Lawrence in country music. So Tracy Chapman apparently is a queer black woman.
What's the song called?
Fast Car.
Okay.
So the Washington Post story focuses on the fact that country wouldn't embrace that song when it was recorded by a queer black person.
Oh,
right?
My God.
That's what they're focusing on. And, you know, did they release it to country? Was country even aware of it? That's not quite how it works.
Well, I can't pull up the Washington Post article because, of course, it's behind a paywall.
Yeah.
But I can pull up
the... But that's what they focus on because it's play number one and it's all that they've got. And I tell you this as someone who grew up as a fat white kid, Kurt. I was a fat white kid who my nickname was Dale the Whale. And I have done my own research on this, you know, through Ancestry.com. And I'm not even a hash mark percent African, okay? It all comes from, you know, England and Scotland and Germany and Northern Europe and all that. That's 100% of my DNA. So how can that be racist?
I don't know, man. This is just
I was
so
a kid
tired.
Who ate too much. Luke Combs is a fat kid. He's a white kid. How is that racist? I get so sick of it. And your point is right on point. It's you can put in anything with Google and put the word racist next to it, and you get a plethora of articles.
Well, in this Fox News article, so I guess the Washington Post article is trying to say that this song was originally by this Tracy Chapman chick, and that because she was a black queer woman during her time, she would have not had the success that Luke Combs is having now because of racism or whatever.
Is it queer black or black queer? I want to make sure we get that right.
Know.
It's
whatever.
One of those? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, never mind. but then in the article, they have a tweet here. Someone says, WTF, Fast Car was one of the biggest songs of that decade. It was a huge hit. The Twitter community notes have just been like really funny because the Twitter community notes are now like fact-checking all the libs on Twitter.
Jeez.
But somebody is complaining about the song, and then the Twitter community note says, Fast Car by Tracy Chapman was nominated for 3 Grammy Awards, including Record of the Year and Song of the Year. She won for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance and Best New Artist.
I hope she wrote it. Did she? Do we know if she wrote it?
I don't know.
Because if she wrote it, she's making a ton of money off the fact that Luke Combs is riding it like a rocket up the country chart.
Oh, yeah. No
so
doubt.
God bless her. This is America. It's about capitalism. And I get sick and tired of people saying that country won't embrace black performers who want to be on country. Darius Rucker, Jimmy Allen, until he stepped on his own you-know-what. He's kind of in the penalty box right now. Kane Brown. Mm-hmm. We have black performers who want to be on country. If you don't want to be on country, that's okay, too.
Yeah. I just hope that country music doesn't, like, capitulate to that or you know, try and focus just on, like, people's race. You know, it's like, oh, look at this black country, artist. We're not racist.
I guarantee you right now that KFKF will not. I can't speak for the other country, the 2,000-plus country stations in this country, but KFKF will
Nashville.
Not.
Maybe.
Maybe Nashville. Oh. Nashville's finally getting their shit together. They really are. Mm-hmm. You know, with Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen leading the way. I mean, you know, they're getting their act together. And really, current country music is better than it's been in several years. Mm. So they're finally getting their act together. So that's that. And we're going to move on. Medicare Simplified KC.com. Kirk Dorris's company is one of our newest sponsors on Dale Carter's America. If you are 65, approaching 65, you have a relative who is, this is very important. You're about to enter the Medicare web, and because it's from the government, it's very complicated. Okay? Kirk and his team there at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com, they simplify it. It's in the name. They'll walk you through it. They'll get you all the options that you need, including covering the gaps. And it's not going to cost you anything, okay? In-home appointments are available. Get with these folks. If you've got a relative who is about to turn 65, this is very important. MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. That's the website. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. Here's the phone number if you want to write it down, 816-701-6661. This is another great reason to get the video version of the podcast, because Kurt scrolls through the website as we're discussing it so that you can see everything here. But there are a lot of folks who have gone through Kirk's system here at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com, and they are so thankful that they did. He helps folks determine the most cost-effective ways to fill the holes in Medicare and understanding the alphabet soup that is Medicare. And then once you've done that, grab the family and go over to Funhouse Pizza. They're in Lee's Summit on 50 Highway, Blue Springs on 7 Highway. Jim Dingman, he is so on board for what we're going to talk about next. I am so excited. I think I have found my purpose in life, my next act, if you will. And we need to celebrate this at Funhouse Pizza, where you can celebrate everything. You got the Little League team, you got to do the banquet or whatever. No more fun place in town than Funhouse Pizza on 50 Highway and 7 Highway. 50 Highway, Lee Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Great pizza, very cold drinks, and just a fun atmosphere, and always lots of giveaways. I know Jim Dingman's on board for what we're going to talk about next, because he told me he is. He's ready to help lead the charge on this. Here we go. I'm wearing a t-shirt, Kurt, that says freedom. And we know what freedom's about. We believe in freedom, right?
Yes.
Freedom is probably one of the pillars that we built this podcast on. It's one of the pillars that this country is built on. And it's what I want to build the next thing on. And that is this. I am done with Jackson County. Mm. I'm done. In the straw that broke the camel's back for me, and trust me, it's been building for a long time. It's been coming for a long time. That once again, the legislature in Jackson County brings up taking down the Andrew Jackson statues. We talked about this last week on the podcast. They passed it 7-1. That does not take the statues down. It puts it on the ballot again, where we, the Jackson County voters in 2020, overwhelmingly said, leave the damn statues alone. We have more important things. Bigger fish to fry than taking down the statues of the 7th president of the United States, who Jackson County is named for. You've pulled up the plaque. That's something that they put on there,
yeah.
On the statues.
Yeah, do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go for it.
So when did this happen? Was this last year or just previously?
Well, 2020 was the vote.
Yeah.
And I guess after the voters repudiated them, this was like their little, okay, well, if we've got to keep the statues up, we're going to put up a plaque that puts it into context.
Right, right. So the plaque says, in 1826, the Missouri State Legislature named this county after the hero of the Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812, Andrew Jackson, nearly 3 years before he became the nation's 7th president. Almost two centuries later, we hold a broader, more inclusive view of our nation. Jackson's ownership of slaves and his support for the Indian Removal Act are part of his history. The act forced Native Americans from their home territory so that white settlers could live there and triggered the Trail of Tears, a 1,000-mile march resulting in the death of thousands, including an estimated one quarter of the Cherokee Nation. This statue of Jackson reminds us that we are on a path that, in the immortal words of Martin Luther King Jr., bends towards justice. In turn, we must acknowledge past injustices to help us create a greater nation built upon humane policies to light our way and the way of humanity everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it says something else at the bottom that you can read.
Okay, well, fine. They put that plaque on there. You know, I'm a collector of G.I. Joe action figures.
I didn't know.
Well, you put the video up. I hosted a video from my house on this podcast. Anyway, there was a series of the G.I. Joes that came with, like, Time Life magazines from the time. Okay, mm-hmm. And they're like miniature Time Life magazines, but they're accurately reproduced. And when you open up page one, they've got, like, a little flyer inside that basically is that plaque. Mm. It's basically, you know, well, this may have some things in it that seem insensitive, given the times that we live in now. It's like history is history. You just got to deal with it. So that's, Kurt, that's for me the straw that broke the camel's back. But it's on top of a lot of other things. Confiscatory property taxes, right? The assessments that are out there. And you've heard the nightmares and the appeals that are continuing here. They've skyrocketed in Jackson County. We have a prosecutor who won't prosecute, right? They want to build a new Royal Stadium downtown. That's going to be a $1 billion tax bill to the taxpayers of Jackson County, okay? The mayor of Kansas City and the city council, and this is separate from the county, but you may have heard about this, the mayor and the city council voted to give themselves a 15% raise.
Nice.
And that's effective August 1st. So the mayor of Kansas City will go from $141,000 to $163,000 a year, and city council members, and I was a city council member in a suburb, right? I didn't even know the gig paid when I ran. It doesn't pay very much in Blue Springs, I guarantee it. And I never saw a raise the 9 years I was on the council. If you were a city councilman, part-time gig in Kansas City, Kurt, you currently make $72,000 a year.
Wow.
And with a 15% raise to get ahead of Joey's inflation, it's going to be $81,000.
Wow. Not a bad deal. And
not
it's
a bad,
part-time.
Exactly. Because in a city like Kansas City and Blue Springs, the charter says you've got a city manager who's effectively running the thing, and you've got this full bureaucracy. The elected officials are there to kind of give their blessing or not on different legislation that comes forward. It's not worth $81,000 a year, and I say that as somebody who did it for almost 10 years. Okay, so with all of this as a backdrop, I'm on fire. Last week I was on fire when this thing hit, you know, the Jackson, the statue thing again. So I called our good friend Jeff Coleman. And I said to Jeff, I've got this wild-ass idea. Please tell me I'm crazy. Can we secede from Jackson County? Can we take all of eastern Jackson County? They can have Kansas City. We don't share their values. I grew up, Kurt, believing in my soul that you should change things from the inside. We can't change this. The divide is so big between Kansas City and eastern Jackson County, it cannot, in my view, be healed. So my next act in life is to separate eastern Jackson County from Kansas City. And I want to call it Freedom County.
That's the name of the episode right there.
Freedom County.
Freedom County.
Now, you know, a second name would be Jackson County. You guys in Kansas City can change it to whatever you want to change it to. Woke County, if that suits you.
We'll call it Cherokee Nation County.
Exactly. And we'll take the statues with us.
Yeah.
That was where Coleman was coming from. But to back this up to Jeff Coleman for a second, he said, you're not the only one. My phone is ringing off the wall. People are pissed. And he said, believe it or not, I've already started working on this. And there's a couple of ways we could go with this. So I am telling you, the podcast listeners, that I will dedicate the next 4 years of my life to getting us out of this situation, to lead the way to removing eastern Jackson County from Jackson County. And I'm not kidding. I kid about a lot of stuff, especially on the morning show at KFKF. I am not kidding about this. It's time. we in the eastern Jackson County portion of the county, you know, the eastern suburbs, if you will, Independence, Lee Summit, Blue Springs, Grain Valley, Sugar Creek. There's a lot of towns that I'm going to miss on this, but you know, if you live in eastern Jackson County where you are, we have nothing in common with what's going on downtown. Mm-hmm. It's literally turning into a sewer. Every day it gets worse. We're not quite San Francisco yet, which they've turned that beautiful city into an open sewer, but we're getting closer every day.
Yeah, well, let's do what we can to help. I totally agree. I mean, I think that's it's a great goal to try and make something happen. So, Jeff Coleman, if you're out there listening to this, let us know how we can help. And, you know, if there's anybody listening to this that has some ideas or, you know, things like that, reach out and let's see what we can do.
I'm going to lead the way, and I've given it 4 years. Now, you may ask, why am I giving it 4 years? If it were not for my stepson, Jackson, who is just going into high school at Blue Springs High School, which is a fantastic high school, three of my kids graduated from there. I have nothing but great things to say about the Blue Springs School District. As I tell the folks there, I'm a satisfied customer, and he loves all of his friends, and there's no way he would want to move. If it were not for him, Kurt, I'd sell my house tomorrow and I'd move to Cass County. Mm-hmm. Because it's gotten that bad in Jackson County that one of us has got to go. Either me or we take the whole half of the county with us. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try real hard. I'm going to put everything I've got into it. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, I'm out of there in 4 years.
Well, there you go. Let's make it happen.
All right. Anything else on that?
No. I think you're taking the reins on that one.
I'm fired up. Does it show?
Yeah, absolutely.
It probably does. All right, to the next segment we have here. Do you want to lead with Orange Man Bad? I called this Trump Biden 2.0.
Yeah, let's do it.
New bumper.
Oh, we've played this one before.
Oh, we have?
It's Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Why won't people treat me more like Hitler?
Like 90% of what he says, I'm like, this guy gets it.
He's just a gross, crook, dirty, rotten, lying sucker.
The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic.
Love the dance.
Islamophobic, you name it.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Orange Man Bad.
Orange Man Bad.
Orange Man.
Orange Man.
Well, you know, it seems we headed that way. I mean, we're quite a ways off. We haven't even had the Iowa caucus or the New Hampshire primary yet. But, you know, if you believe the polls, we're headed to Trump Biden 2.0. And you get some contrasting treatment here. I saw this story last week that Jared Kushner has been questioned under oath. And he says, shockingly, that Trump still thinks he won in 2020. Can we impeach him, even though he's not president anymore, over that? Can we please?
Let's preeminently impeach him before he wins in 2024. Let's impeach him, you know, ahead of time.
So what? So what is what I say? Hillary still says she won in 16.
Yeah.
Does anybody give a shit? No. Stacey Abrams still thinks she's governor of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Why doesn't it apply to them. It only applies to us.
Why is it different when Trump says it?
I don't know. We have this story from ABC World News tonight. They talked about it a little
bit. President Trump and the special counsel's investigation into January 6th.
Oh, yes.
Tonight, sources telling ABC News that Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has testified before the grand jury. And we have new reporting here on the line of questioning for Kushner. Let's get right to our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl, tonight. And John, what have you learned?
David, the special counsel is specifically trying to establish whether Trump knew that he had lost the election and therefore knowingly committed illegal acts to try to overturn an election that he knew he lost. Now, coming before the grand jury recently include not just Jared Kushner, but other top aides, including Hope Hicks and Johnny McEntee, the young aide that was seen as Trump's loyal enforcer in the White House. We don't know what these aides have told the special counsel, but I can tell you this. Several people close to Trump told me at the time that he knew full well that Biden had won, as one Trump confidant told me about a week after the election, quote,
it's just, that's enough. I mean, it just goes back to everything that we've talked about. They're just obsessed. They are obsessed with this whole concept of the 2020 election, January 6th. And it goes back to, you know, we've talked about this between you and I about how Trump, you know, won't let it go and all this stuff, which is true to a certain extent. He likes to talk about how, you know, he won the election, it was rigged, blah, blah, blah. But it's also true that, you know, the media is focusing on all these things for a reason and rehashing it for a reason, because they'd want to delegitimize him. They want to, you know, discredit him. They want to put him in jail by any means necessary. And it goes back to this this town hall thing that we played on the show. But I want to play it again because it's a perfect follow-up to this story about how much the media is focusing on this. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Play.
Well, and, you know, in terms of Hillary, how about the fact that she launched a complete false narrative that the Justice Department took the ball and ran with, and the media took the ball and ran with?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Where are the apologies on that?
100%. I mean, the whole idea of Trump-Russia collusion was like a total psyop that was created by the Hillary campaign, and they never had to pay any consequences for it. So.
None.
Here we go.
He's lied about the 2020 election. Stuffed ballot boxes, it's all made up. He's lost dozens of court cases. Does it bother you that he keeps talking about 2020 and not 2024? I'll ask you first. This is Jonathan Leslie. He's 40, Republican, voted for Trump twice. How do you feel about those lies?
So I feel like part of it's also the media narrative, as you guys asked him the first question at the town hall about the 2020 election, rather than current stuff.
So don't you think he could say it's time for me to start talking about 2024, not lies that aren't true?
Couldn't the media ask him a question about 2024?
I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it hits the nail right on that.
Well, all right, let's talk about this then, because everybody's focused in the media on January 6th and blah, 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 blah. Cameras everywhere. They saw it from every angle. They saw this. They saw that. Yet someone left a bag of Coke in the White House West Wing. And after just 1 week, the Secret Service invokes play number 5. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, well, the
nothing to see here.
I was kind of looking into this last night, and so they declined to interview a bunch of people or something like that. Did you have like more to the story? Because I was trying to find more.
Exactly. I mean, you've been in the White House
once.
What did you have to do to go into the White House? Do you remember?
I was a kid. I don't remember. No.
Well, I just was in the White House in May. Okay. I had to empty everything out of my pockets. I went through the thing just like you go through at the airport, and I was wanded on top of that. Mm-hmm. That happens in the West Wing as well. Even if you are part of the staff and you are cleared to be in the West Wing, you go through that.
Right.
There's Secret Service people there everywhere. There are cameras everywhere. Specifically, you know, where this bag of Coke was allegedly found outside the Situation Room, there are a lot of cameras there. Yep. Okay? So who brought the cocaine in? And why doesn't the president get out in front of this and say, hey, who brought cocaine into the White House? I want to know. I want to get to the bottom of this.
Right.
He's not saying anything.
No, they're not saying. They're trying to distract from the issue.
And the media is like blowing this off. It's like, it's just a bag of Coke.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, and there was one clip, I don't need to play the clip, but from Fox, one of the hosts was talking to like a former Secret Service guy or something like that. And he was basically saying that because it's a bag with cocaine, you know, cocaine is a powder, there's more than likely fingerprints involved with the bag. And everyone that goes in, everyone that has the security clearance high enough to get into that area of the White House needs to be fingerprinted. So all of these people have fingerprints on file. So he was saying that it's very likely that they did find fingerprints. They know whose fingerprints it is, and they're just not saying anything because, you know, it's maybe Hunter Biden or somebody else, you know? I mean,
so when
who
you
knows?
Go, Speculation, when you go through maybe. This, when you go through this and you see, you know, Jared Kushner under the bright spotlight, he thinks he won the election in 2020? Oh, my God, let's impeach his ass one more time. To this, it's like, really? Can't the dispassionate person kind of step back and go, something doesn't feel right here.
Yeah,
I mean, this doesn't look right.
If let's put it this way, if they found cocaine in the Trump White House outside of the Situation Room 4 years ago, now Jared Kushner would be going in front of a grand jury to testify about the cocaine in the White House. So it's like,
and they'd impeach his ass again one more time just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Okay. You've heard of projection, right? If you've ever been in therapy, they talk about projection quite a bit. And that's where if you've done something, you blame it on the other person or you project onto the other person those feelings. And that clip that you had of Orange Man Bad just brought this to light again. Because how many times in that clip did they refer to Donald Trump and or ultra MAGA white right-wing Republicans as Nazis?
Yeah.
Right? That's one of their favorite go-tos. The left calls us Nazis while they shit all over the First and Second Amendments, right? And weaponize justice to go after us if we step out of line. Okay. Hunter Biden's lawyers, did you see this? They sent a cease and desist letter to Donald Trump so he'll stop being mean to Hunter on social media.
Yeah.
We can't have a First Amendment here. And they're blaming Trump for what happened to Paul Pelosi. And I guess a man was arrested near the Obama home with weapons in his van. And they're blaming that on Donald Trump, too.
Of course.
The same people who brought us the Ministry of Truth, right? They wanted to have a Ministry of Truth with COVID and all that. These are the people that are calling us Nazis.
Part of the cease and desist, sorry to interrupt, but the lawyer also defensed his client against suggestions made by Trump and others that cocaine found at the White House earlier this month might have belonged to Hunter Biden, who is a recovering drug addict. So there you go. You can't joke about Hunter Biden, you know, being the owner of the cocaine, or else you'll get a cease and desist from his lawyers.
Well, you know, the Nazis had a propaganda wing, right? Joseph Goebbels was very big on that. That's what the Democrats are doing. And through projection, they're saying you're doing it. What are we doing that's putting a cap on the First Amendment?
Nothing.
Yeah. And the left used to be like the proponents of the First Amendment. The ACLU backed the First Amendment. They're the ones that famously said the First Amendment is about defending speech which you hate.
Yeah, they defended a Nazi rally. They're calling people Nazis now. Well, not the ACLU in this case, but they have very recently. You know, the Nazi thing is like something they like to throw around as well. But they famously defended a literal Nazi march, like parade, I think in Illinois or something like that, back in the 70s or 80s, whenever it was.
So I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, when you call us Nazis, you need to look in your own backyard when you're like shutting down the world on any free information exchange on COVID and determining what the truth actually is. The First Amendment, I said this last week, the First Amendment is the First Amendment because it's the most important. And it's backed up by the Second Amendment, which you also shit all over. Never mind the fact that you let criminals run the streets free and don't enforce the laws that are already there. And then you've turned the Justice Department into your own weapon to go after people. And if you can't see that dispassionately from 30,000 feet, I'm not quite sure what else I can tell you. Other than this, that apparently the people to blame for all of the stumbling, bumbling that Joe Biden is doing, it's his staff. This according to Mika over at MSNBC.
Reagan, they also managed his schedule very carefully.
Yeah, I think his staff needs to own his age. I'm just going to be honest. I don't think they do a good job helping out the president. And I'm not talking about it like, I'm just saying, if you are managing a president's schedule and you are managing a president getting on stage and getting off stage and doing getting on planes and getting off plane. And yes, he's 80. You need to be there for him and you need to make a pathway. And you sure as hell better make sure he doesn't fall on a sandbag. And I blame the staff for that. I mean, these are the things that are going to hurt him. These are things that are going to be played on a loop. Okay? Let him do his job. Let him do his speeches. Let him work on policy. Let him do his connections in Congress, unlike any president that we've seen.
Oh, yeah. He's the best.
I don't know, since Clinton. But my God. Make sure, you know, your Secret Service, you're his staff,
now?
That
they
you're
are.
There and you're telling him what's next. And it's not because, don't take this as, oh, he can't even get from one place to another.
When
you're busy and you're on stage, and we've been on stage,
right.
I've done speeches, and I'm so nervous, I'm doing the speech, I'm trying to get it right, and when it's done, I don't know which way to go, and I'm looking for direction. So do a better job Because you can't have...
Well, can you, blah, blah, blah.
We're not going to vote for Mika.
They're married?
Yeah, they are
married. Can you imagine living with this woman?
I just can't.
Good God.
It's just horrid. And, you know, have you noticed on Joey, too, whenever he's going places now, he doesn't come down the big boy steps anywhere anymore on Air Force One. They let him out through little steps at the bottom.
They, like, lower him from the bottom through an elevator?
There's, like, another hatch at the bottom of that 747 that opens, and he comes down, like, three steps. He can't come down the big boy steps anymore.
Yeah, he can't walk, he can't talk, but it's the staffer's fault.
Exactly.
They need to put, you know, they need to sweep up all the dirt from the ground in front of him,
and again,
so he doesn't trip and fall.
As I've said numerous times on this podcast, Kurt, today is the best it's going to be for Joe Biden. It goes downhill a notch every day.
Yeah.
And you know what you're not hearing about from the Democrats? You're not hearing about Kamala Harris, because she would be worse. And I have stated this for the record. I believe it in my soul. She may well be the dumbest person to ever occupy that job. She has a brand new job. They've made her the czar of AI. I'm not making this up. She is the czar of artificial intelligence. And have you heard this clip, how she explains it?
I heard it last night when
perfect.
I was preparing the notes. But
and I think the first part of this issue that should be articulated is AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters.
Two letters.
It means artificial intelligence.
Didn't know that.
But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught. And part of the issue here is what information is going into the machine that will then determine, and we can predict then, if we think about what machine, what information is going in, will be produced in terms of decisions.
You cut this word salad off anytime you want.
Oh, no,
it doesn't get better.
We're watching the whole
thing.
You just repeat it.
Yeah.
So it's just word salad. She would be perfect on one of those tests, you know, the essay questions. Can you fill up five pages of nothing? Because she's perfect at filling.
It's like you could just say AI stands for artificial intelligence, and it means machine learning. So what, we teach them things, and then they spit out, you know, new information.
Yeah.
Took 3 seconds. I mean, okay, so that begs the question, would you rather live with Kamala Harris or Mika Brzezinski?
Is suicide an option? And I'm totally against suicide. So, you know, are the Democrats nervous here at this point? I mean, are the big money donors kind of nervous about where this is all going? Because the only thing that they've got is how we started this segment. Orange man bad. Don't look at anything we're doing. Orange man bad.
I think they're probably a little nervous in terms of optics, you know, for Biden and, you know, maybe the direction of the country on certain things, certainly like the economy and inflation and things like that. But they have their ace in the hole is, I think we can talk about this on YouTube now, but their ace in the hole is the election process. You know, they have firmly established all of these new rules that they've used to rig the election, the mail-in ballots, the ballot harvesting, the expanded hours, all which benefit them disproportionately to a vast degree. And so I think that's the real uphill battle for Republicans is fixing the election process and you know, taking it back to election day, making people vote in person, making you show ID to vote, all of the things that actually will secure the vote as legitimate, because otherwise it's an uphill battle, and it's strongly in their favor every single time from here on out until that changes. So I think that's kind of what they're counting.
Well, when you said ace in the hole, I thought you were going to say Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
No.
Well, and some are leaning that way. RFK Jr., last time I looked, he was at about 19% in the polls for the Democrats, which ought to give them a wake-up call. They are doing everything they can to discredit Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This was a piece that was, and I want you to listen to how this story is written, okay? Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is under fire after suggesting COVID-19 was designed to be ethnically targeted. At a dinner in New York over the weekend, he claimed there was evidence that COVID was manufactured to attack certain races while mostly avoiding others. He said Caucasians and black people were more prone to the disease, while Jewish and Chinese people were less affected by it. Okay, so that's the story. Now, here's the last line of the story, buried. Later, He said the New York Post story was mistaken and that he was actually talking about government-manufactured bioweapons. Nothing to do with COVID. But the whole story, the headline, RFK Jr. suggests COVID goes easy on Jewish and Chinese people. Okay? They are trying everything they can to discredit this guy. From the left, not the right.
Yeah, and the ironic thing about that, too, is, you know, that the media is coming out and attacking him for saying the same thing that the media was saying for the entire duration of COVID. We just played a few minutes ago, we played the game of, is it racist? You know, he was saying, according to them, which is not even what he said, but let's assume that it is what he said. He was saying, you know, COVID had a disproportionate impact on, quote unquote, black and brown communities. It's the same thing the media has been saying the entire time. I mean, I literally did the same thing. I went back to Google. I typed in COVID racist. And there's a reason why COVID-19 is killing black and brown people. COVID infections by race, structural racism and COVID-19 response. Black people are dying from COVID-19 at higher rates. Racism, violence, and COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. So he's saying the same thing that they're saying.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they have a problem with it. I guess because, you know, he said disproportionately less for Jews and Chinese. Again, it's not even what he said, so, I mean, who cares? But it's so funny how the narrative can just change on a dime like that. It's like, if it's a person that we like, if it's a person that's in the establishment,
the
you
circle.
Know, yeah, exactly, in the circle, then it's good. And if it's a person that we don't like, then it's bad. It's just that those are the rules.
All right. Well, to be continued. And again, we're not even to the Iowa caucuses yet, which are coming. And Ron DeSantis still says he's in it. And he's got, you know, state by state, he thinks he's got a chance to win. But the national polls say that this is going to come down to Trump and Biden. And obviously, we're going to follow it with great interest at Dale Carter's America. From Casa Dale Carter, the roof report. The roof looks fantastic at my house, and it got done in one day with Royal Roofing and Solar. 816-540-7057. Austin Watterson's crew came.
You want me to show the picture?
Sure, why not? I'm proud of my house. Yep. And for the first 4th of July ever, Kurt, I didn't worry about the house catching on fire because of a wood roof. And that was the standard in the neighborhood. That was the HOA dictate. You had to have a wood shake shingle roof, and they've done away with that. And I'm one of the last houses to finally get a really good roof, and Austin Watterson and his crew did it. There's another on the main drag that goes through my neighborhood. I noticed they were getting a new roof, and a week later, they're still working on it. A week later, through all the storms we had last weekend, they're still working on it. My house was sealed up in one day, and Austin and his company will do the same thing for you. Solar's in the name as well. So that's something they can tell you about, a way that you can own your own utilities. And as utility prices keep going up, and God knows where this thing's going, and if Kurt's right, and if the Democrats have gamed the system, and they're going to be in power for the rest of time, pretty soon, who knows where it's all going to go. You want to generate your own electricity, you can do it with Royal Roofing and Solar, and they'll tell you how with tax credits and grants for small rural business, ag producers too. 816-540-7057. The roof over my house is a Royal roof from Royal Roofing and Solar.
Yeah, and it looks like they updated their website too. So if you go to royalcontractingkc.com, right at the top of the homepage here, you can schedule your free inspection. So
great folks.
Yeah, you can pick what you're interested in, like what kind of projects, solar, gutters, roofing, and they'll come check it out for free. So you can do that right on the homepage of the website, royalcontractingkc.com.
All right, we're going to give out a Midwest GI Health Full of Shit Award. We've got a couple of doozies for today.
You're full of shit.
All right, thank you.
Now, got a shush.
You are speaking shit to me.
You full of shit. You understand that? You full of shit.
And again, it is presented by Midwest GI Health and Wellness. Dr. Mark Terramina, who's been with us now for a little over 6 months now, and he wants you to know that colon cancer detected early is very treatable. It's important for you to get your colonoscopy. Our longtime friend of the program here, Mark Zarda, got his. They found some polyps.
Yep.
Which they're testing, but again, early. So early detection is the key. Colon cancer is one of the biggest killers out there. But if caught early, we can do something about it. That's why you need to get this done. Go to your regular doctor, your general practitioner, and say, you know, I'm 45. Should I be getting my colonoscopy? They will tell you yes, and they'll get you done with one-stop shopping at Midwest GI Health and Wellness in Lee's Summit. You can reach them at 816-836-2200, 816-836-2200, on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Get your colonoscopy. It is that important. And somebody who needs an enema, probably Nancy Pelosi. Have you seen her lately? Oh, my God, it's horrid. No. And Adam Schiff et al. You know, I'm going to put them all in there. The folks who impeached Donald Trump over the phone call to Ukraine because something didn't smell right with the Bidens. All right, Donald Trump, to your point, Kurt, is not in the circle, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they don't like him. He's not one of the club. So he's in there. He's like, I'm president of the United States. I'm going to have a phone call with Ukraine. Everybody's telling me that Biden basically was taking sacks of money out of there and went over there and got a guy fired. And if he wasn't going to be fired, they weren't going to get aid from the United States. Something doesn't smell right about that, and I'd like you to investigate it. That got Donald Trump impeached. Remember that? They had those, like, you know, remember the pens they signed it with? They were like hugely expensive pens. I don't remember what the cost was, but they all signed it, and they marched, you know, in like a very somber ceremony, you know, to take it from the House side to the Senate side. And it all came down to this. And we've talked about this a lot in the time that we've had this podcast. Follow the money. Something doesn't smell right here. We can't be impeached, by the way. Sorry. Something doesn't smell right here. And it still doesn't smell right. The further they dig into this, the more that we look at the bank records, the more that we see what kind of happened over there, it doesn't smell right. And this is not about picking on Hunter Biden. You don't have to send me a cease and desist. Don't be mean to Hunter. He can't handle it. This has to do with Joe Biden. And there are serious questions about whether Joe Biden is in the bag for Ukraine and other countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Questions that should be answered.
And hopefully they will be. They continue to investigate on the House side over the huge objections of the Democrats who want to tie this to the ultra-MAGA right-wing Republican Nazis. Again, back to projection. So I'm going to give them that award this week, the Full of Shit Award. Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and all of their colleagues. Schiff. It's Schiff.
He is shifty.
He's so full of Schiff, is what he is. So thank you to Midwest GI Health and the Full of Shit Award this week on Dale Carter's America. Again, brought to you by Blue Springs local State Farm agent for five decades. He's the man, Bob Watson, and he's ready to take care of you and your family with auto, home, life, commercial insurance, the boats that have been out on the lakes. You know, maybe you got some damage from the storms that went through over the last week. There are still people, as we record this podcast, Kurt, who don't have power.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Boy, that gets you back to Austin Watterson, right? What if you could generate your own power? Not to go back to another commercial, but there you go. You could generate your own with Austin Watterson. You wouldn't have to rely on Evergy. So 816-229-7878. Get with Bob. Get a quote. Surprisingly great rates at State Farm. You may think, God, I'm paying for the big name there and all that. No, they'll take care of you. And when you call, somebody will answer the phone speaking a language that you understand. And they will be there for you when something happens to your roof, when something happens to your fence, or your car gets into a wreck or something like that. 816-229-7878. We leave you today with the return of not Joe Biden, but Joe Biden. Is he not one of the creepy? Just take politics out of this. This is just creepy, don't you think?
So creepy.
Yeah. So he's over in Finland. He sees this baby. Right. By the way, backing up just a second here, did you see that Maureen Dowd put out a column, and she's as left as you can get, reminding the president that he has seven grandchildren, not six, because he won't acknowledge Hunter's baby.
Yeah, the illegitimate child.
The illegitimate child. Still yours, Joey B.
Yep.
That matters. So he's over in Finland and he sees a baby. Maybe it reminded him of his illegitimate grandchild. I don't know. But do you know what the num-nums are?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have grandchildren. They're my grandchildren. So if I want to do this, I'm going to. I would not go up to a stranger. I would not go up to your child, Kurt, you know, and I know you pretty well. I mean, I wouldn't go up to your child and go, those are the num-nums.
Well, I know you, so I'd probably just be like, dude, what the fuck? But if some random guy came up to us on the street and did that, I'd punch him in the face.
Roll the video on Joey B doing the num-nums.
Currently en route to Washington at this moment.
There he goes. Watch. Back again for one more time for the sniff. Yep. You gotta get the sniff in there at the end. It wasn't just the noms, it was the sniff. Watch one more time. So he's got the noms. And then he's like, oh, making a face. And then, yeah, let's come in there.
By the way, the child looks terrified.
Quick sniff. So that's the part. Okay, so like this part, it's weird. It's, you know, maybe not appropriate, but it's not like predatory. It's a creepy grandpa that doesn't, you know, he's got dementia. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't, probably his social barriers, you know, have somewhat gone away.
How does that explain the last 30 years? Because this is not new.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's so true. But here's what I'm saying. Like, that is sort of more of a maybe normal thing that you would do with a kid, right? But then this part,
moments ago, the president departing.
The sniff, that's like, I mean, who does that aside from like creepy pedos? I mean, just to be frank, I'm not saying that he for sure is, but I mean, it's just very, very suspicious.
The good news for him is he's a Democrat, and it's good to be a Democrat because nobody other than us is ever going to say anything about this, and we're just kind of making fun of him. If it were Donald Trump, he'd be impeached again.
Yeah.
We've got to impeach him. He's nom-nomming kids. Yeah. So on that note, Freedom County, I'm serious about it, and we're going to make it happen. We'll talk more about it next week on Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.